Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The text of our sermon this morning is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 9, beginning in verse 35. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." He called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who's called Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: "Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, preach this message: the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give." This is the gospel of our Lord. From the Bible, God makes it very clear that there are two groups of people in this world: those who recognize and believe in Jesus as their Savior, and those who do not. The first group has a great amount of denominational variety to it. But the common element in that first group, whether people stand or what church they're a part of, is that they recognize their need for a Savior and look in faith to Christ as that Savior. The other group, those who do not believe, also contain a bit of variety. There's a lot of different stripes of other religions out there. There are even some people who recognize that Jesus was a great historical figure, a great teacher. But the common thread in those people in the second group is that they've rejected Jesus as a Savior. They don't look to him the same way that we do. It's also just as clear from God's word that God wants everybody in that first group. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved. God so loved the world that he sent his Son. Over and over throughout the scriptures, God says, "I want people to be saved, and I've done everything necessary so that can happen." He sent his Son. He's given us the word and the sacraments. God wants people in that first group. We also know from Scripture that God uses each of us to reach out to those people who are outside of his kingdom, the lost sheep. But what the Bible doesn't tell us is the best way to do that work in our specific situation or context of ministry. What's the best way to reach the lost? It's a good question. And people have a lot of different opinions, a lot of different ideas about how to do it. We make extensive plans. We develop programs that enable us to reach out and to encourage people to do that. But ultimately, there's not a one size that fits all. Unfortunately, sometimes a discussion about the best way to reach the lost prevents us from actually doing it. At times, a discussion about how to do ministry overwhelms us so that we don't actually go out and do the ministry. You've probably been in enough meetings or discussions around church to realize that people have a lot of different ideas. That's okay. That's healthy. It's good for us to challenge one another and to talk about what's best and come to a consensus. But ultimately, the best way to figure out how to reach the lost is to watch the Master, watch Jesus, see what he did. And this morning, we have Jesus in action in the gospel lesson, and Jesus telling us as he gives instructions to those first disciples about how to reach the lost. Three things this morning. First of all, it includes compassion. Secondly, there's prayer. And finally, there's preaching. Jesus did not just send his disciples out to do ministry. He showed them how to do it. He did it himself. And it's part of his humiliation as our Savior. You know, the eternal Son of God who came to this world to bring salvation to this world, he carried that message himself to the people of this world. The very people who would reject him and crucify him, Jesus went and preached to them. And when he did that, he was filled with compassion. Listen again, the first verses of our text. It says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. He saw the people, and his heart went out to them because they were harassed. They were helpless. The picture behind those words is much more graphic than some sheep wandering around. The picture is those sheep were bloodied and beaten, almost like they had just wandered through a thick patch of thorns and were all tore up. That's how Jesus saw those people. They were spiritually wrecked and ruined because their shepherds were worthless. They were leading them to places that were spiritually dangerous by directing them away from the Messiah and putting their focus on their own good works. Or they were just completely neglected, left to wander, and they got in a lot of trouble, a lot of spiritual danger. Jesus' heart went out to those people because they were souls for whom he died. They were souls that he came to save, but they were lost. God works that compassion in our hearts when he reminds us that that was once us, that we were those sheep who were lost. By nature, we were dead in sin, destined for hell. The Bible tells us God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ even when we were dead in sin. The Bible tells us that Jesus is the good shepherd who at the perfect time laid down his life for the sheep. And the Bible tells us that we were going astray, but that great shepherd of the sheep, the Lord Jesus Christ, sought us out through his word and sacrament and brought us into his family of believers. In his compassion, God brought us salvation. And now we live every day in the comfort of the gospel. We live at peace with God. We live in confidence as we face the future. We live ready to go home to heaven whenever God calls us. And when we see somebody that doesn't have that, our heart goes out to him. Because those sheep for whom Jesus died will one day be the goats that are condemned to hell. There's a company, I believe it's a company that protects your identity. And I'm not sure which one it is, but one of these companies that prevents identity theft. And they've developed these clever commercials. And the two of them that really caught my attention, one of them there's a scene in a bank lobby, and the customers are in there, and suddenly three criminals come in and they're robbing the bank. And there's a man standing there in a uniform with a hat and a belt on. Says security, and somebody says, "Hey, they're robbing the bank." And he says, "I'm just a security monitor. I'm not a guard, I'm just a monitor. I'm just here to tell you that there's a problem. There's a problem." And he gets down on the ground. My favorite one, probably because I don't really like this so much, is the guy in the dentist chair. And he's in the chair, you know, holding on tightly, and his mouth is all jacked full of dental equipment, and the guy in the white coat is standing over and said, "That's bad." And the assistant says, "That's really bad." And kind of mumbling, "Are you going to fix it?" "Oh, I'm not a dentist. I'm a dental monitor. I'm just here to tell you that you have a cavity. You got a cavity." And then they walk out of the room. There was a real problem there, but they're just monitoring it, right? There's a real problem when people don't know Jesus as the Savior. But we are called to do more than just monitor that problem. There's more to compassion than just saying, yeah, that's bad. Jesus directs our attention to the next step, and that's prayer. And maybe that strikes you a little bit odd. You think this is a serious matter, that here's somebody, a lost sheep, who's going to suffer eternally if they don't know about Jesus. And Jesus said, let's pray about it. Listen again to what he tells his disciples. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. That might seem insignificant to us, but Jesus said, pray about it. Pray that the Lord of the harvest, would send people into that harvest field. We say that prayer every time we use the Lord's Prayer and say, your kingdom come. When we make that position before God, your kingdom come, we're asking that more people would learn about Jesus as their Savior and they'd be brought into the family of believers. The two hymns that we sang beginning of the service and before the sermon had those themes. They're essentially prayers that the word of God would be spread, that people would go out and herald the message of the gospel. And this morning, we have an answer to our prayer right here with us, of a new teacher that Abiding Word Lutheran Church has called to serve in our school, Mr. Lang. He is here as an answer to the prayers that we have been giving to God. Lord, send out workers. And so he's here. He's here to help us and to work with us to bring the message of the gospel to the world. And when we pray that God would send out workers, and we see answers to our prayers before us, we also need to recognize that it's not just our called workers, that all of us may be the answer to those prayers. There's an interesting change that takes place in these verses in chapter 10. Jesus calls the disciples to himself. And the word that's used there, disciple, means learner. And then right before he sends them out, he calls them apostles. That's a significant change. They were learning, but now they're the apostles. And the word apostle means those who are sent out. So as they were praying for workers in the harvest field, Jesus said, go and do it. You're the answer to that prayer. That's true for each of us. Whether we're called workers, pastors, or teachers, members of the congregation, we need to be prepared to be the answer to that prayer for workers in the harvest field. Because if we are filled with compassion, and if we are praying for workers, we ought to expect that God just might use us to do that. In order to be ready, we need to be aware of the temptations that might come our way in God's harvest field. Some of those temptations are to leave the preaching part of this to the professional preachers and teachers. The people that are trained and called to do it, let them do that work. The other temptation is to think that maybe there are some people that are the Samaritans or the Gentiles, and we ought not go to them. At the time, Jesus told his disciples, go just to the lost sheep of Israel. That was for them. Our commission is quite different. Our commission is to go to the world. Go and make disciples of all nations. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. So we dare not leave anybody out. The other temptation is maybe to get lazy. I'll get to that later on. Or to be apathetic about the work and say, it's not really that important. We're more than monitoring this situation. Our hearts are filled with compassion because people are truly lost. And God has sent us out to preach the gospel. That's the best way to reach lost sheep. Thanks be to God, that's how we were reached. Because somebody in our life overcame some temptations. Maybe it was our parents who brought us to the waters of baptism. They overcame that temptation of human reason that says, that's not really that important. They said, it absolutely is. Maybe we had a Christian friend who overcame the temptation to think that we were too far gone. We were like those Gentiles or those Samaritans. They will never listen. But that friend overcame the temptation and preached the gospel to us. Or it's a Christian congregation who fought against apathy, who fought against laziness and said, no, we are committed to preaching the gospel because we know how important it is. But greatest of all is our Lord Jesus Christ, who fought every temptation perfectly. He never looked down on others. He was never lazy or apathetic or full of pride. He was humble with a servant heart and gave his life for our sin. That Savior was determined to win our forgiveness. And that Savior was determined to bring that message into our hearts through word and sacrament to change us and to bring us into his fold. And thanks be to God, that's why we're here today. That's what moves us to go out and reach the lost, because we know the best way to do it, to preach the gospel whenever God gives us the opportunity. I still remember the day I was summoned to a hospital to visit one of our members who had gone through some surgery, and I walked into the front door of the hospital. I think I told this story in Sunday school, so excuse me if you heard it before. But I walked in, and as soon as I got in the door, the lady behind the desk quickly, she knew me, she quickly ushered me up to a room on the intensive care floor. And she said, I'm glad you're here, we need you. And I walked in this room, and there in the middle of the room was a body laid out, person had just died, and all around the body, maybe 24 family members and friends just standing there. And I walk in and she says, here's the pastor. And then she leaves and I'm there. I didn't know those people, had no idea the person who died. But in the brief conversations I had with them, I got the very good impression that they were kind of lost. They knew they needed the Lord, but they didn't know much else. Didn't say anything really about the fellow that had died. I'm sorry, your loved one has died. But I talked to those people and said, I know Jesus died for you. He rose again from the dead. Your sins have been forgiven. Those lost sheep heard the gospel. Those are unique opportunities that pastors have. Maybe not everybody else does. But yet, you're a part of the mission field, because God has set you apart to declare his praises in your life. You have compassion for the lost. You're praying that God would send out workers. And most of all, you know that you are prepared. When that friend asks you, why do these tragedies happen? You can direct them to the Savior. When your coworker announces to you their terminal cancer, you got something to say. You're not lost. Jesus has brought you in and he's equipped you with everything good for doing his work. And finally, Jesus says, it all boils down to this. Freely you have received, freely give. We've been given these gifts of forgiveness and salvation by God's grace, and our joy is to bring them out to other people in the world. And because it's so important, because it's eternally important, we're going to spend a lot of time talking about and planning about the best way to reach out with the gospel. The disciples had the ability to do miracles. They were driving out demons. They were healing diseases and all that sort of thing. God hasn't given us that ability. But we still talk about the best way. So we have a vacation Bible school. We reach out to the people in our community, or a family night at a neighborhood restaurant. We have a Lutheran school and an early childhood ministry. We have a service that's visitor-friendly. You can come in and follow along and be at ease. We do all of those things, and we talk about all of those things because God has filled our hearts with compassion for the lost. And he's driven us to pray that more workers would go out, and by God's grace, he's shown us and maybe even given us the opportunity to be the answer to that prayer. So let's keep talking about it. The best way to reach the lost. But let's always go back and see Jesus, our Savior, and listen to Jesus who says, freely you've received. Give the gospel freely and let it work. Amen.